Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts out there. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor, but still want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, to name a few. Perfect for enjoying with family or friends and taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. That's wonderfulpistachios.com.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 169, Don't Make a Thing Out of It, by David Kane of Raptitude.com.
Get ready to maximize your potential with Optimal Living Daily, the podcast that brings you the best in personal development and productivity every day of the week. Your optimal life awaits. Now here's your host, Justin Mollick.
What's going on, oldies? Don't worry, I'm not actually calling you old. Old stands for Optimal Living Daily, which is the podcast where I find really awesome blogs on personal development, productivity, minimalism, and more. And I read them to you so you don't have to stare at a screen anymore. And if you'd like to show your support for this cause, which by the way started as a social experiment for me to work on my social and performance anxiety, you can support this podcast and help keep it alive by becoming a patron of the show. You can do that at oldpodcast.com. And if you're not in a position to contribute financially, you can also show your support for free by joining my weekly newsletter. Any of those is like giving me a virtual hug, which I greatly appreciate. And with that, let's start optimizing your life. Don't Make a Thing Out of It, by David Kane of Raptitude.com. One of my favorite articles in The Onion shows a picture of a man dressed up to leave for work with his hand on the doorknob and his ear against the door. The headline reads, quote, "Exit from apartment delayed by 20 seconds to avoid pleasantries with neighbor," unquote. It made me laugh because I know I've done exactly that many times. The article has been shared 30,000 times on Facebook, so apparently it's a thing for many people too. Now that I think about it, my neighbors have probably done the same thing to me. What's interesting is that I never really decided to do that. I never consciously thought about avoiding pleasantries with the neighbors. I just got into the habit of slowing down if I heard shuffling outside, sometimes hesitating at the door until it goes away. After seeing this Onion article, whenever I notice that neurotic impulse to avoid the neighbors, I feel silly and just go whenever I'm done getting ready. Somehow, I made a thing out of having hallway interactions with the neighbors. Because I apparently spent the last 2 years avoiding my neighbors, there isn't much of these pleasantries when they do happen. I don't really know these people, so there's nothing to catch up on. I just give them a genuine good morning and go. I feel like I've solved a problem that never should have been a problem. Shrinking your world. Now that it's summer, I go for a bike ride almost every evening. I live in a semi-urban area consisting of a strip of restaurants and bars sandwiched by two grids of well-treed residential streets. I love the residential streets. They're lined with pre-war two-story homes with old-style trimmings and no stucco. Every night, I pick a nearby neighborhood to explore and sort of meander my way there without needing to take any particular route. The other day, I was heading to a neighborhood across the main strip, and I noticed that up ahead, the cross street I was on passed a busy restaurant patio. I guess I have a negative association with these patio scenes. I love my neighborhood except for its loud Thursday night bar crowds that leave cigarette butts and empty bottles behind. Instead of proceeding past, I noticed myself turning around and taking a detour down a back lane. As I was riding down the back lane, I realized that I had just made a thing out of avoiding certain streets because they required me to pass by a noisy patio. Next time, I'm not going to worry about it. It seems like this isn't something worth thinking about. One street's as good as another. I might as well have taken the back lane. but it seems completely absurd when you realize that this silly little aversion actually made me physically stop my bike and turn around to take the back lane instead. Obviously, I made this dislike of patios into something that matters, something that will put a little bit of my world effectively off limits. As with the pleasantries in the hallway, this kind of thing was probably happening for a long time before I was even conscious of why I took certain detours. It makes me wonder how many other things I made into things, situations that raise the alarm in some way, that restrict my possibilities by making aversion the deciding factor in what I do. Big things. We do this a lot. We make tiny aversions into long-lasting things in our lives. If it only affected which streets you feel free to ride your bike on, it probably wouldn't matter. But it affects big things too. What careers seem feasible to you? Whether you can pull off a major goal or not? How healthy you can expect to be? How happy you can expect to be? When you let aversion call the shots once, it can quickly become the new norm. A thing is a wall. It's a location in your day-to-day life where you now have to change direction because you let it become a thing. The most direct route you've determined is no longer a real option for you. The fewer things you let become a thing for you, the more freedom you experience. You probably know people who make a thing out of nearly everything, and you probably know people who seem to be able to do almost anything without much trepidation. For certain stretches of my life, I made a thing about activities that I now consider vital to my well-being. In particular, I made a thing out of writing. It was always a fight, even though it's something I need to do. It's much less of a thing than it was, but still a bit of a thing. I also made a thing out of exercise for many years. I always approached it with resisting and bargaining and dreading. Now it's really not much of a thing anymore, and I'm actually fit for the first time in forever. This mostly happens under the radar. We feel and act on aversions without even noticing why we're taking a little detour instead of going the more direct way. I had no idea I was scared of my neighbors. Just like back in college, I probably wasn't conscious of the limits I had placed on how happy I could expect to be. But sometimes, when you're about to not answer the phone when a certain person calls, or when you're about to leave the dishes for tomorrow, you can catch yourself and decide that you're not going to make a thing out of it this time. You just listened to the post titled, Don't Make a Thing Out of It, by David Kane of Raptitude.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How true is that? I'm sure all of us have done that before, where we avoid going outside because we see someone else. I know I've done it, especially with social anxiety, and that's what makes it worse because then it's avoidance and fear wins. It's definitely something I want to work on, and I'm happy that David wrote about this. And if you haven't already, check out his site, raptitude.com. He does some crazy awesome experiments on himself too. Once again, if you want to give this show a little virtual hug and help keep this going, I'd really like to make it a full year of doing this podcast, but it's going to take a lot of effort and resources to make it happen, so I could use your help. If you want to have a huge impact, you can become a patron of the show and contribute any amount you like, one time or monthly, at oldpodcast.com. And that covers the website server, the podcast server, mailing list costs, the books I give away, and more. But if you can't contribute financially, you can simply join my weekly newsletter. And that helps a lot too. And that's it for today. Enjoy your weekend, and I will see you tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.
Hey, this is Dan from the Optimal Finance Daily podcast, which is a lot like this show, except more focused on personal finance. Justin handpicks the best posts he can find from blogs and authors like Ramit Sethi, Mr. Money Mustache, and more, and I read them to you 5 days a week. So if you enjoy this podcast, come on over and subscribe to Optimal Finance Daily, too. And together, we'll optimize your financial life.
You've been listening to Optimal Living Daily. Be sure to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on each new episode. And head to oldpodcast.com, that's OLDpodcast.com, for a free gift as well as more actionable tips and resources to help you maximize your potential. Thanks for joining us, and remember, your optimal life awaits.